So who are you?
Hi, nice to meet you. Well, I'm Alain, Alain Lissoir, and actually I'm the WMIPM for Microsoft, so everything related to WMI is going to finish here on my desk.
What is, now I have no clue what WMI is.
WMI is? Okay, it's true. Actually, WMI is just a piece of software in Windows, so it's called Windows Management Instrumentation. It's like a shim. Okay. Being there for management purposes. And so we are consumed, we are used by many different people. SMS is using us, scripters are using us. There are many different kind of folks actually using us.
Where would an end user see your technology?
Well, probably. It depends what you define what an end user is. All right. If it's a scripter, an administrator, scripting on Windows, yes, it will probably see WMI quite a lot.
Okay.
If it's a standard user, a secretary working with Office, probably not. Even though WMI is used behind the scene, they won't notice the presence of WMI. That's right. Going to be just a piece of software that resides there that nobody knows about it. So, and we are a team of different guys here along the corridor.
Yeah.
And if you want, we can just have a walk over there.
Are you going to show it to me, or are you got your team?
Well, we're going to show some stuff in my test lead office, because here it's a bit crowded with machines and stuff. We're going to have more room to have a speech over there.
Well, cool.
It will be much easier. Follow me. Come with me.
So how do I know I need to know to use
Don't hit my bike there.
Oh,
be
oh,
careful.
Oh. There's hazards in the hallways. So how would I know I need to... Who would use WMI? A scripter, you said?
Yeah, scripters, administrators, people doing the management of Windows in the enterprise. That's mostly the crowd we are working with. But actually, it could be even more than that, because we have applications that are developed on top of, you know, any kind of management system, and they are using WMI, or an application, a financial application, or a web application can use WMI to be, how we call it, instrumented.
Yep.
And of course, then it's going to become manageable. And we have different initiatives in that space to offer new capabilities and offer new solutions to developers to provide solutions to their customers. Let's call Daniel here.
All right.
Daniel, can you come with
Hi,
us?
Daniel. Yes.
We're going to move. Daniel is the
You got a box, a bunch of machines there.
Noisy here.
And it's noisy here. That's why we won't stay here, because we can speak, but it's going to be much more comfortable in Rajesh's office.
Excellent.
It's quieter.
All right.
So where is Rajesh? Sure. Where is it?
Okay.
Rajesh, yes. He's quitting his mail.
Hiding all the secret stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let me get over here.
Yeah. So Rajesh is test lead in WMI. And so we are basically the three people in charge of WMI in the Windows division.
Okay.
So that keeps us busy.
Can you turn on the lights for me?
Very busy.
Is that possible? I know test leads like living in the dark. You know, that's something that I...
not only test leads. I'm telling you, not only test leads. So we are the three people actually dealing with everything related with WMI as a whole.
So I'm still trying to get a handle on it.
Oh, sure.
So... Where would you use WMI? Where would who would use it, first of all? Because it's not like the Xbox. I go into the Xbox, I know exactly what I'm getting to.
Doesn't believe me. I said I'm lying.
So WMI is a platform manageability thing, which people can use for consuming instrumentation data that is exposed by lots of hardware and software components. Typically, people would find use in like inventory management for controlling, or managing a wide variety of boxes in their enterprise, and doing sort of like this one-to-many management. You know, it's quite possible, because WMI sort of like abstracts each boxes, and you have one universal way of looking at software and hardware components, so you could have the same scripts run, on.
So this is for a system administrator who needs to administrate a lot of machines. Is probably where you're going to use it, right?
That's why you have scripters in this box, because they are writing script to automate these things. Yes, Daniel.
Does it come with Windows for free, or do I have to buy it?
No, it's coming with Windows since Windows 2000.
Okay.
Before that was a separate download, but right now it's built in on Windows. It's very stable. And the bigger advantage of WMI is extensibility. developers will create plugins and add-ons to WMI, and they will expose their work to administrators.
Right. What's the most misunderstood part of WMI, do you find?
Well, developing providers, probably that's the thing that people need to be, I would say, it's probably the most complex part. But to address that, we are, of course, enhancing the component, I would say.
Okay.
But this is where it's the hardest part, because to date, people were developing WMI providers by writing C++ code based on DCOM, writing a DLL, acting as a COM object, interacting with the infrastructure. So it's not something fancy to do all the time. And now we are trying to improve that experience to allow people to write providers, but by using the .NET framework. So writing providers in C# or VB.NET or J#. So purely managed code, which smooths the experience per se.
Are we going to get a demo here?
Well, I don't think you will have a demo on the PC because we are still working on the bits as we speak.
Okay.
However, we can draw up a little picture on the whiteboard to show where things are and what we are working on and so on.
Let's say I'm a new administrator. I just got to be an administrator of XYZ company. How do I call this up? How do I learn about it?
Yeah, so you should split the bucket in two parts, actually.
Okay.
You have the guys writing a provider, which is the developer work, and that's the application designer role.
Okay.
Then you have the consumers, the ones that are using basically what the others wrote, and that is the administrator. This is where the administrator is. So if we draw up a picture in a couple of seconds, we will clearly see the difference between, I would say, the backend and the consumer.
Right.
And the consumer has the ability to basically browse the different objects and things we have in the system. And to do that, they use different tools we provide.
Right.
One of the tools is the WMI Sim Studio, which is a graphical interface. They can just basically browse the content of the database that WMI is using. But those are just discovery tools.
Okay.
Once they know what they want, once they found what they want to use, then it's up to them to write something, a script, or customize their enterprise management application, which could be MOM, SMS, HP OpenView, name it. There are many enterprise management applications in the world.
Does Monad work with you or compete with you? Or how does that
work? Not at all. Monad is actually a consumer.
Okay.
Monad is the shell. You just write a Monad script or a Monad command that you wish you on the new shell, and you will consume WMI information because you have this exposure. WMI is agnostic from any language, for any kind of consumer. We can be consumed from the .NET framework for a C# application, for instance. We can be consumed from a script, a VB script, wish, I would say, old scripting model, which is purely based on COM and DCOM. But we can be consumed from Monad, which is the upcoming thing. And that's going to be, for us, just a consumer.
Got it.
So we are in the world of the managed code. We are in the world of the unmanaged code as well. We are agnostic. That's basically the way to put it. We are totally
agnostic. Now I'm starting to understand. We got a good video of Monad up there.
Yes, Rajesh. But I mentioned the tool to browse the repository for discovery. We have it there.
But very quickly, because you asked Alon about the what's the most misunderstood thing about WMI.
Yes.
In my mind, what I feel, people feel WMI can, you know, like people ask, like, okay, how can I get this information about the memory settings or this hardware info? And they believe that WMI can magically expose all of the things. But WMI is as good as what those providers that we have written to expose those information. It's not magically going to happen.
Okay.
So, we try very hard.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
We consume the information that is available, and we make it available in a more standardized way. It's the common access pattern to the information available in Windows. So the pain could be at different places. It could be at the developer side if they have to write a provider. But for us, to make sure that this information we want to expose is available, we need to chase that information down in Windows. And so we need to talk with the different teams. Daniel can speak about the experience writing providers, for instance.
Writing provider is easy, you know, the DCOM is not hard.
It's easy if you write Christopher Brown over.
it's easy even for us, you know.
Speaking.
The PM has has a slight different view.
But if we be to rephrase what is the most misunderstood thing about WMI, everybody believe when they are out of the options, they cannot do anything else. Their only hope is WMI will be able to turn the monitor off and WMI will be able to magically bring another hard drive on the system. You know, everybody believe WMI is so powerful at the end, and everybody expect WMI to do almost everything, and we don't have everything yet on the system.
Okay.
For the providers, what we're trying to do right now, we're trying to have a new model for providers, purely in a .NET framework, with the same capabilities, with the same performance, like native code providers, and we expect after we release the new provider model to have a new wave of...
Now when are we going to see the new model?
Is it going to be end of this year? Well, like, I will not commit on any dates.
Yeah. He's the politician. All right, let's ask the dev.
If you ask the dev, he's going to say next week, and actually it's going to be in 3 months. Yeah. Right? So, no, we are looking to be ready the latest for the end of the year.
Right.
That is no question from a technical and testing standpoint, because the question is not only to write the bits, it's also to test the bits, to meet the quality gates, to pass all the bars, to ensure reliability, scalability, and all these availability words that we know. So we must make sure that the quality is there.
So it sounds like you're going into beta 2 of Windows Vista?
Well, we are not committing on any shipping vehicle right now.
Okay.
Because it's something that helps in the infrastructure of Windows, but at the same time, it's a .NET framework component, which is also part of WIDBI, of Visual Studio 2005. So that's where the other challenge with WMI is.
Yeah, you know, like, our frame, the Mana stack, it gets integrated through the drop that the dev does it, you know. And they don't do it every now and then. You know, so they do it sort of like maybe once a month.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet, you know. We're at the moment developing that as a out-of-band package.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it would
out of band. When you're talking Microsoft speak, right? Out of band means that a customer has to download it and install
it. Yes, it's a web
download. It's a web download. Just to be controlled.
I gotta remember to translate all that.
Absolutely.
And here we're seeing some of the integration issues when you have thousands of developers working on Windows Vista. We just don't know what's going to ship after beta 2. So.
But well, there's maybe, still some decisions to be made.
Yeah,
to grow
we're still working to.
Maybe is it good to draw up a
picture I'd like to see
of the WMI architecture, and then we can just pinpoint on these things where we are working on.
I have a slide you want to.
Oh, just, you do have a slide.
No slides on Channel 9.
Okay, no slides. That's easy. It's going to be drawn up in a couple of seconds. So basically, you have Windows, right? Yeah. And Windows is made of different items. Let's represent those by some rectangles. You have some SNMP device, just to give you some examples. You have the Windows services, you have the registry, you have the file system, you have whatever, XYZ. Yeah. You have different components in Windows, right? Then, what is WMI? WMI is a broker. It's something that comes as a shim between the consumer, so you have the little administrator here who sits there and he wants to consume this information. So he uses WMI. So WMI is there. And WMI, to interact with those what we call manageable entities here, has a bunch of providers. Like this. This provider is a DLL and it's a COM object. Okay. And the dev is writing this piece of software. That's a provider development. And you have here one for services, one for the registry, and so on. As long as you have components, you might have one provider for each.
Now, I expect some baseline providers come with
your absolutely.
Package.
You have, in Windows, you already have a bunch of providers. Actually, in Windows 2003 SP1, we have something like 80 providers in the system. To give you a comparison, in Windows 2000, we had less than 29. And in Windows NT4, which was a web download, we had less than 15.
Give me an example of a popular provider. What would it do?
Well, for instance, we have one DLL called sim win32 win32.dll. which surfaces a lot of things in Windows, and one of the things that this DLL, this provider, is surfacing is the management of the Windows services. So when you are stopping a service, starting a service in Windows, and you use a script for that, well, actually you use WMI, and this DLL is in the path.
Got it.
Okay? But to script and all of it, you need to have some interfaces here. And this is what we have. We have what we call the WMI-COM interface. And this is where the guy writing his script. Yes, so the script is actually here.
Okay.
And then, of course, you have pure C++ developers. They are writing C++ application. They interact here. And when we speak about the .NET world, then you have... In the .NET world, we have one namespace in the name in the framework we call system.management. Okay?
Yeah.
And the C-sharp guys, or J-sharp, whatever, are basically consuming WMI through this namespace.
Right.
Okay?
Is there a community where I can download some sample scripts or get started?
Well, in SDN, you can find sample scripts on TechNet. The scripting guys did a lot of work regarding scripting with WMI.
Okay.
And on MSDN, you can find some C-sharp example. But to come back on the initial topic we spoke together, and now you can write .NET providers.
Got Script-O-Matic is a great place, it's a great tool as well.
Now, who are you? You snuck in here.
I'm the PM that set all this up. I know just enough.
What's
to
your name?
Otto.
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 Great.
Yeah, this is Script-O-Matic is a great tool out there.
I have to ask everybody that.
Yeah,
no sneaking on the video.
Not even presenting himself. So so when you write a provider, now the thing we are working on is basically you will be able to write, for instance, this provider could be written in a .NET language, in C sharp. So to do this, we have a shim that we develop. And this is one enhanced an existing layer that we already have that we call system.management.instrumentation. Actually, that exists already.
We're just beefing it up.
Yes.
Got it.
That exists already in the .NET framework.
When you say instrumentation, what do you mean? What is a programmer?
You are instrumenting an application. You are an application developer. You want to expose management data. Well, you are exposing this information in such a way that it can be consumed. And to do that, you have to add some instrumentation. That's
so,
how the naming comes from.
So, so the word instrumentation actually is very overloaded. The events guys also tend to use the instrumentation because when you're, you have an application or a software component that you want to render it to be manageable, there are some of the things that you're going to do is have events exposed for it to be events manageable by that way. WMI has its own stuff where typically people will expose internal state information or some control aspects of it. For instance, he mentioned about the service. So you could stop a service, start a service, you know, those are the kind of things. So it happens because somebody has instrumented that piece of software. It's sort of like in your car analogy, if you want to read what's in your dashboard, somebody has to instrument that piece of thing where a sensor is sitting and that is showing you the thing. And the dashboard is the kind of the consumer side of it somebody has provided, so you know where what the things are.
That's really good stuff.
Yeah, so that is the developer part, right?
Okay.
You are a developer, you sit here under. And if you are a consumer, you sit here at the top. And as a consumer, you want to discover things in the WMI. And you have tools to discover things. And I mentioned the tool before. That's the same window, the Sim Studio. And maybe we can show you what the Sim Studio is if you...
Sim Studio is a web tool. It's actually an ActiveX control that loads in your IE browser. And using Sim browser, Sim is a common information model browser. And using Sim browser, you can get a you can look at what for all the registered providers and all the instrumentation that they are exposing using the WMI Sim model. What are those classes, what kind of properties they expose, what kind of methods they have, if there are two separate SIM entities and if they're related, association is what we call, we expose all of that. So this is a nice tool for new administrators who are coming on board to know what's there on the system that could be controlled or managed.
Got it. So
the way you start it is I have it already installed, and I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
Here's my IE browser.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna stop it to go from the default page. And I've already have it, so that's the SimStudio.
Yep.
It gives this warning with this, because it's XPSP2, with the IE hardening, I have to allow the block content to run.
Yep.
So, and it will...
A test machine is not always a reference, you know. Yeah. These guys are doing hacks and stuff.
Yeah. So one of the first thing it prompts you to do, this particular tool, is what particular name WMI namespace that you want to connect to. Notice that if we have this /SIMV2. SIMV2 is where you're most likely to go very first, and where lots of functionality is there available. So that's where I'm going to connect, and I'm connecting in my my current user context, and I'm the administrator, so I get in there. And here's the view. On the left-hand side, this is very familiar tree kind of a view.
Yeah.
It shows all the classes that are registered in this particular namespace.
Yeah. Maybe is it good to mention that the class is the template representing the manageable entity.
Yes. Yes.
So when you speak about a service, you have a class representing the service in the little database that works with WMI, and this class for a service, for instance, will be Win32 service. That's the class name.
Now,
and you have more than 600 classes there.
600.
Yes, you can show some.
Why don't I bring up... and the other thing to know, in WMI, let me bring up service, and then I'll talk to that, you know. I'll see. So it brings up all the matches that it found. So I'm going to open up the Win32 service. What you see on the right, there are three tabs. It shows about the different things about the Win32 service, which is the manageable entity. Here are all the properties it exposes. So for instance, you could look at the name, path name. There's a lot of extra meta information that will not make sense, but as you get more comfortable with it, you'll start knowing what those are. So for instance, the real interesting ones are, what's the service type? I believe that is whether it's an interactive or those kind of things. And then whether it's in a started mode, or what's the start name, what's the state, current state, whether it's started, stopped, and stuff like that. And here are the methods that this particular service exposes that you could call into and start controlling. So, for instance, it has this start service, stop service, and let me go back to enumerating instances of the service on my system.
Okay.
So it enumerated, when I click at this button, what it shows...
Which button is that?
It's right here where my pointer is pointing to. All the services on the system at the moment. So here's an enumeration of Win32 service, and each one, if I click...
Now, are these services loaded in RAM or just on the system?
These are Windows services.
Okay.
Because Win32 service really instruments all the services on your Windows system.
Okay.
So... Like
so this is all of them. This is
all
just
of them.
Ones that the
all
system's
of
currently
only
using.
All on the system.
Yeah. Cool.
So, for instance, I could bring up, let's say, the messenger service, and here are all the details about the messenger service. So, for instance, what's this? What's the state? It's currently stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. And where in what path it gets loaded? It gets loaded in the service host, process. So those are the kind of things available on that. If I go to, now this is an instance that I'm dealing with. So if I want, I could just go start the service, And if I did that, it will restart the service, And
this is the abstraction layer you have in WMI. So people willing to script or to develop application on top of it will basically use that tool and consume that information. The end user will not see that, of course, but that's the kind of information they can leverage from the system.
Right.
And the advantage of using WMI in that case is that now we spoke about a service, right? But we can speak about a registry key, we can speak about a file, we can speak about any kind of thing that you have in Windows that represents a manageable, potentially manageable entity, as long as it is represented in WMI with the support of a class and a provider to interact with it, it can be consumed in the same way.
Got
it become more agnostic of the nature, regarding the nature of the manageable entity per se.
Yeah.
You always use the same set of interface to interact whatever you interact with.
This really lets you get into Windows in a
pretty deep way and control it and see what's going on.
Yes. And I think on for Longhorn, there'll be...
Windows Vista.
Yeah, Windows Vista.
You got to put a quarter in your jacket.
it'll take... Yeah,
it's hard after 1 year.
I know. Yeah. You see me giving Chris Jones heck about it? Yeah.
Yeah. But on Windows Vista, you're going to find already a lot of the providers that were there in the previous system.
Yeah.
But we know of lots of teams that are writing lots and lots of providers. So you will see a lot more new providers, you know, that other Windows component that they want to expose themselves as Windows WMI providers for management.
Right.
Boot management of Longhorn will be, for instance, instrumented with a provider. That's one example. So today you just have the ability to edit the boot.ini, but that's going to be instrumented through WMI, TPM device, a security device for encryptions. You will be able to manage the keys and the encryption mechanism through a WMI provider. You will basically define what you want and an action this item. Many other things we mentioned, WMI.net, so we have work item there that's going to enable people to write more provider. You wanted to add something, Daniel?
I don't know if I should say.
Well, I don't know.
Our goal is to have a model so easy for people to use, such as we are enabling everybody to write a provider in a very short period of time. And in the same time, they can use that provider for different goals. For example, Monad. The provider itself will, we are trying to create an infrastructure where the provider itself can be in the same time a Monad commandlet. And you are writing a provider for WMI, and in the same time you have a Monad commandlet for free, you have a WMI provider for free, and of course if other technology using almost the same paradigm will come online, they'll be able to use and consume that provider, that assembly directly, without making any change to it.
What kind of mistakes do people make when they're using WMI? What are the top three mistakes?
Developers or consumers?
Either one. Take them both on.
Well, developers, I think you can speak about it.
Yeah, for developers, the biggest problem people have with DCOM is a reference counting problem. And another problem a lot of people have some difficulties understanding is the security. And they are trying to understand how the security works, how the security is propagated, and
impersonation, the security context of the provider, that kind of thing. It's a bit mixed up. Yeah. So we need to give some guidance there.
So like what we have done starting with Windows 2000 is just like many other components of Windows, where we move to this more fault-tolerant approach of providing surrogate host. We have our own surrogate host to host providers. So in the past, all these people who wrote providers, if they wrote bad code, they would crash us and the whole service came down. This is no longer the case. Now if you crashed, you just crashed that shared process in which you reside. So when we did that, you know, when you develop a provider and you mark the security context and the hosting model and all, configure the hosting model, that's where people could, you know, not do right things. And also, we want, because you're rendering a service about a component that you're, making manageable, and when you do that, you want, and you're taking actions on behalf of the guy who's requesting to do this to be done. So that's when people don't do things right with the right impersonation and that kind of thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
On the consumer side, perhaps the biggest mistake people are making, they don't really understand what is the cost associated with a specific operation. And for example, people are asking, I want to list all the files on the system. And that will take a lot of memory and will take a lot of CPU. And people are just hoping the information will come for free
right away.
And that is, I think, the only mistake from the consumer side.
Interesting. Is there any way to figure out that something you're about to do is going to be costly, like you said?
I don't know.
Not really, but it's also related to kind of common sense things, yeah. Right? If you have 10 millions of files on a disk, you should not expect this list coming up in less than a second. Another mistake maybe some people are doing is related to the eventing of WMI. When, you know, WMI is capable to trigger an event that you can consume. For instance, I would like to know when the service is stopped. And you can just submit a query for that. We have a query language, which is called, what we call WQL, Win WMI Query Language.
Okay.
And actually, you submit the query, and sometimes you need to specify a polling interval. Some people are specifying a polling interval of 1 second, but if you submit several queries like that, the system is just busy to poll and query, and that is not the aim of it. We have different architecture to address that, but again, it comes down to the point of having the provider available in the system. That's why we are willing to, we want to have more providers, no questions. We're going to get more for Longhorn. Windows Vista?
Yep.
I need to get that. So we're going to get more.
That's how you get your beer bash going.
That's tough. So we're going to.
By the end of the week, you'll have $20 for your beer bash.
We're going to get another release, we're going to get it right. No worries. So we want to have more providers, but it's clear we won't have all the providers we dreamed right. about. It's a question of workload, a question of priorities, because those features that we are working on and some other teams are working on have priorities, and we need to make decisions to find the right balance between what we would like to have and what we will release. You know, if you think about the engineering folks, and if you listen to the guys, they will never release something because it's never finished. And we need to finish at some point because we need to have something to provide, and this is where the balance is. But we have different work items in WMI on the developer side, at the core level, and on the consuming side.
Yeah.
And depending who owns the manageable entity here and there, we are doing the job, or some of the teams in the Windows division are doing the job. But so it means that WMI surfaces a lot of things in Windows, and the WMI team is peering with a lot of people. We are peering with IIS, we are peering with some applications like SQL, but in Windows we are peering with the performance.
When you say peering, what do you mean?
Well, partnering, discussing, yeah. guiding them, reviewing stuff, giving them the input. Sometimes we are even testing the provider for them. The performance team, which is adding a new model for the counters, will be exposed through WMI, so we had to revamp some stuff in WMI for that. We are testing that part, but we are working with them, but they develop the component. I said performance counters, IIS. We are also dealing or discussing with virtual server folks because they have plans in that direction. You know, these things, everything that comes up that is supposedly to be manageable
yeah.
is potentially an item for us to deal with.
What's since you guys probably see a lot of customers using your technology, what's the coolest use of WMI that you've seen?
The coolest or the most used?
Either one.
It doesn't mean the same. Actually, we have...
this is like, I got to get explain. I was at a party with a bunch of nurses and doctors, and they were discussing cool diseases, which were the most rare disease that, you know, that they were... So most used and cool can certainly be different.
Well, it's not necessarily related to WMI, but WMI offers automation and it comes into the picture.
Yeah.
One of the most fancy thing I've seen is that some people are writing scripts to automate tasks in Windows, and some people are, for instance, doing a kind of housekeeping process based on a script. And they are trying to delete some files in the temp directory, the temporary file storage.
In other words, I would say monitoring is the coolest use of WMI. So, like, you could have some, because we have an event infrastructure, you could have a WMI event that's raised on some trigger condition, and then you
so
could have
So if you see 1,000 files in the temp directory, it could be...
Yes,
and this is where it's...
And you could have a consumer, and that consumer takes a runs a script, and it could be a WMI script again, and, you know...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what people must get right when they are doing such a thing, because WMI is there to automate things in Windows, when they are writing a script to automate the deletion of files in the temp directory, they must make sure they get it right.
Yeah.
And I've seen in the past some people believing that the script is all right because they did test it in the machine, their own machine. But when they were just deploying that script against 300, 400, 1,000 machines, well, situation is not always the same. And they were deleting files, right, but they were deleting the ROM files. That happens, and we've seen such issues like that. But of course, we expect people to test their script. We offer the capability to make a deletion, but they tell us what we must delete. Okay, so they are the owners, they are the decision makers. And it's very important to understand when you are a scripter, you have a responsibility like a developer, because you are developing an automation on top of something, and you are telling to that thing to action some few things in the system. And we're going to do what we are supposed to do, provided that the right security is set up, the guy has the right to do these things. Of course, we are always respectful in this regard. Yeah. So, but WMI is used at many, many different places in Windows. So, as Rajesh said, eventing, we are used in the GPU subsystem for the GPU filtering. We are used, name it, there are so many, I can't even know. Yeah. But we have more than 80 providers. We're going to be close to 100 for the next release, that's for sure. And the coverage is extended across every new release. And that's the goal. It's to make Windows more manageable, more scriptable.
I think what will happen is once the managed stack that we're beefing up, which was hugely, not on par with the equivalent native stack, which is very hard to code because it's decom-com. People don't get basic ref counting right. And com is very hard to write. But with the managed stack, which will become on par with the basic native stack in with regards to the hosting capabilities, method support, and write support, it's going to be really rock on cool, and people can write very solid providers in the .NET environment. And so we'll see like lots and lots of providers being written then.
That's the goal. We want to enable more people to write providers internally, for sure, and externally as well.
When as a developer do you know you need to write a provider? When you just don't find something in like this?
I say for application developers, because they are the main target for our system.management.instrumentation. In the moment when they are building the application, they are thinking about end-to-end scenario for administration, and in that moment they are already coming up with the idea. What kind of classes, how they want to show their system to the world, and they want to design how the instrumentation looks like, and that will be the moment when they'll write a provider.
Okay.
For operating system, I think is a little bit different in the moment when a new technology came online and we are going back to the same path. You are thinking about end-to-end scenario, how you will manage that technology, how the administrator will interact with that technology, what kind of tools you will provide for that interaction, and you will pick WMI. You can come with a different approach, but WMI is the easiest way and is there.
Let me extend that a little bit more. What I feel, you just don't write a piece of software that, we all know that software breaks, and it will break. There are issues with it. So you really have to provide, make the software manageable. And you can't, and the first attempt to make manageable, you'll write, you'll give a, scripting interface for people to do things, and suddenly you find there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different scripting model and approaches of managing a piece of software. WMI really makes that universal, because once you learn it how to manage Win32 service, you learn to manage any other piece of component, because it's universal in its access appeal.
Common access pattern,
yes.
As I said. It's a common access pattern.
Yeah.
So if you know how to stop a service and execute a method to stop a service, you will know how to execute a method to basically reboot the machine or change some other settings. The common access pattern is really the key thing, because we are using a standard in WMI. In the core, we have a little database, which is the SIM repository, which contains a bunch of classes, as I said, but these classes are designed on the model, which is standard, defined by the DMTF, the Common Information Model, SIM. And we are using that technology to basically offer this common access pattern, to represent things in a very common way across the border, regardless of what you are representing. That's what Rajesh is defining. That's the strength of the WMI, actually.
Yeah.
Is there anything else I need to, a developer needs to know, or an administrator needs to know about WMI?
I think we have one news group, winter2.wmi. Is a very active news group, and people are participating on the news group. They are getting answers from Microsoft on that news group, and I encourage everybody writing a provider or dealing with WMI to look at the news group.
Yeah. Yeah. We have actually three news groups.
Do you have a blog yet, either?
Or? We're very looking to get the blog going. I'm very anxious to have
looking. We are looking at it.
News groups are so yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is that we are...
No, watch, I'm going to get a lot of MVP hate mail.
We are not busy enough, so we are just thinking, well, maybe we should have a blog to keep us more busy than we are. No, I'm kidding. We are looking into that. We are willing to go on that route, but we didn't get a chance today because... Yeah.
You're busy. You got a few DLLs to ship.
Exactly. We are hosting infrastructure for almost the entire Windows division, and this is where the challenge is, because we are not focusing on our staff. We are dealing with many, many different components. Daniel made a statement, a very interesting statement, where we were together in India for a developer joining WMI as a newbie. It's a great chance for the guy, because he's going to be involved in every component in Windows, close or far, but he will be involved. Yeah, yeah. No question.
You guys know what actually is shipping in Windows.
If he succeeds in WMI, he will succeed in Windows Vista and the next.
And our challenge is to abstract all these changes underneath and to chase the culprit when someone is modifying an API and find a guy and say, hey, you've changed an API, you are breaking us, we should get back to the normal stuff, or let us know what we need to do to get it right. And that's why in WMI we have a lot of tests, a lot of test coverage, stress issues, to stress the entity, to make sure that the manager is solid enough. And that's why we have so much work.
Now, when a new initiative like the tablet PC comes along, do you guys have to do a provider for the tablet PC, or is that just sort of...
It's not really a provider, but we need to update WMI. We have a work item for Windows Vista, by the way, on that. Inventory, asset management, collecting the information that is available in the system from a hardware standpoint and software standpoint. We need to chase that information down in the system, and we are currently dealing with the different device teams. So CD-ROM, hard disk, network card, BIOS, SMBIOS, monitor, mouse, keyboards, name it. We need to get that information from them, because they are the manager of those hardware devices, if we just speak about hardware. And we need to find what they expose to us, to consume, to expose that in WMI.
And there are lots of new standard that keeps coming along, and we have Bluetooth, to catch up, Bluetooth 1394, and,
iOS, it's endless. Yeah.
Now, does the 64-bit version of Windows affect you guys at all?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I think Daniela have some good stories to tell.
Windows Win64, X64, and i64 was a very challenging release for us, and one of the reasons it was so difficult was backwards compatibility. The main goal of Windows was to run any package already shipped to the customer, including a 32-bit application, to still run on 64-bit OS and run unchanged, and WMI should magically deal with all the providers with 32-64-bit translation, and we had some features for XP64 and Windows 2003 SP1, where we are propagating the client business from the client to the server, and we're able to deal with all the providers in
You have a 32-bit client, and the 32-bit client wants to access to the 64-bit world, or just write the opposite, and we have to manage the data in such a way that the consumer doesn't see any difference. He gets what he wants, regardless of the bitness, 32, 64.
Yeah. But the key thing there is a 32-bit application, the way it was written in the 32-bit world, and you now have this stronger 64-bit a platform, and you want to just take it and you expect it to be running. And what if that guy is consuming some WMI stuff underneath it? We don't want to break that, and we have taken care that that will continue to work. And if for those with far-fetched and even really, you know, interesting scenarios where they want to, you know, poke a hole in this WoW environment, 32-bit environment that you're running, and query what's there on the underlying platform. That could be done as well.
Oh, really?
So we've done some interesting kind of...
So it sounds like a testing nightmare. I'll take credit for it.
Yeah. We don't want to see the main fix there.
No, backwards compatibility and backwards compatibility in the network is our main goal. And we'll be here for years to come. Like, backwards compatibility is the basis.
Now, you guys really are the competitive advantage to Windows, aren't you? Because, you know, over other operating systems.
Yes, I think I was reading one website once about written by one guy from Apple.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, it was in a blob, I do not remember exactly, but the guy was basically complaining that Microsoft, with the scripting story and WMI and this instrumentation that we have, did a pretty good job to offer an easy way to basically write anything you want, depending on the situation you are in. And the guy was complaining that it was not available in that operating system. That's the kind of thing. Yeah. Actually, the burden is on our side. We are working hard to make sure that it's easy on the consumer side, and it's easy for the developer to provide the information that the consumer would like to have. It's a good infrastructure, never good enough.
Yeah.
No miracle.
Never complete enough.
It's endless.
Well, that's your fault. It's always the developer's fault.
Because at the end, the PM is the guy showing up in the world, right, in the wild, and getting the complaints. So, we are a team, and we are working equally all together, because we need, all of us, we need to sign off on the stuff we deliver. So we are accountable for what we do, and none of us will ship something if one of us is in disagreement. We need to find a solution that is acceptable for test, dev, and PM. And that's the way it is. And we have a bunch of people working behind us. We have developers, we have testers, we have a bunch of machines. We are building Windows every night. We are stressing Windows every night. We have what we call BVTs, build verification test. We are checking if the build we get in the morning, you know, like a stove. We have the hot stuff just ready to be consumed, and then we try it and we burn it every day, and we restart over every day. And we are integrating with all the features we have in Windows as well. We have something like 4,000, 5,000 people working in Windows these days. Roughly, yes. So you can have
a
change on the left side that is impacting us on the right side, and suddenly we get broken and we have to fix these things and make sure that we are solid, and they are solid. Everybody's getting what everybody expects. And in the migration context, if you migrate those agents from one world to the other, let's make sure that on the WMI side this is right. But it's just one piece of the puzzle, because migration doesn't involve not only WMI, but the file system, the registry content. So we have a migration team that you probably should talk with.
Absolutely.
They are making sure that this story is smooth for everybody.
Right.
The goal here is for all of us, regardless of if we are part of the WMI team or any other team in Windows, we want to make sure that we got that right.
Okay.
And we are all working hard these days to get Windows Vista better than it will ever be, and even better than the beta 1. That's the goal. And we are improving. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of challenges. And we have a lot of problems as well, because this is why we are here. We are here to solve those problems.
Yes.
Right?
Well, cool.
It's a big engineering team.
Yeah.
One of the best engineering team in the world. And this is what we're doing.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thanks for coming.
Thanks for spending some time.